Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's see if Representative Bob Morgan is smiling. Representative, this is John. You're on WGN Radio. How are you today?
I'm good. I appreciate the closing of the week with a smile.
Yeah, well, we should all try and do that. But I must say there's a lot of frustration on both sides of the issue about this assault weapons ban in Illinois, which you are instrumental in passing. Just tell me a little bit about your connection to that.
Sure. Unfortunately, my family has experienced gun violence in the past. I lost several cousins to murder-suicide about 6 years ago. And then, of course, the 4th of July parade in Highland Park, I was there with my family and ran to the scene right after the shooting. So, unfortunately, gun violence has played a direct role in my life. And of course, that's not unique. A lot of people around the state have had gun violence impact them and their families.
We've passed, and the governor has signed, as well noted now, this assault weapons ban in Illinois. What is the definition of an assault weapon? How are we going to know what is or what is not in Illinois?
Well, the Protect Illinois Communities Act has a very explicit definition. We literally list the weapons. We actually include two different formats. One is the actual weapons and their manufacturers, as well as the features that would identify an assault weapon. So anyone who wants to read the legislation, you get a very explicit answer of what's included in there. So it's not just AR-15s. It's a lot of other firearms that are just like that. Also semi-automatic pistols, things like Uzis. You know, there's a lot of different firearms that really are causing this kind of mass gun violence in Illinois.
So the make and the model, I could look it up and see if I have that or if that's the gun I want to buy that now I can't buy or sell, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of people say, well, what's the definition of an assault weapon? And you know, we have a pretty good roadmap. The federal government had a definition of assault weapons, and this is very similar to that. And again, our definition is very explicit for anyone who has any questions.
So what was your reaction to the sheriffs throughout the state who said they're not going to enforce it? Did you anticipate that?
I did. We received quite a bit of messaging from sheriffs about not supporting this. Not all sheriffs. My sheriff in Lake County, the Cook County sheriff, all very, very supportive. But downstate sheriffs in particular really, in this case now, refusing to comply with state law. So very disappointing. But I keep coming back to the fact that I think it's embarrassing for them. They really literally only have one job. Their job is to follow the law and enforce the law. And they're saying, we're not going to do that. And so I think they should be pretty embarrassed.
I've heard from the other side, and one of the things they wish, either Republicans or gun owners or the sheriffs, they wish that they had been more involved in the crafting of the legislation. Would you comment on that?
Sure. We had 6 months of private meetings, public hearings. The Sheriff's Association met with my working group privately. We talked about a number of pieces of this legislation. The Sheriff's Association had just about a month and a half of this legislation being very public and really just outright was opposed. So law enforcement at a number of levels were involved. State police were heavily involved in the drafting of this legislation, police chiefs as well. So law enforcement was incredibly involved here. But in this case, you have sheriffs who just don't like it. So they're just going to throw their football and go home.
Does that include Republicans? Were Republican lawmakers invited into your working group?
I had personal conversations with Republicans. Our working group was just a Democratic working group, but then we had over 15 hours of public hearings with Democrats and Republicans. And again, this draft legislation has been out there for a few months. So this certainly was a bipartisan discussion.
I think that's a little frustrating or disappointing to people because they will tell me, they will spin it, if nothing else, and maybe it's the truth that they were not involved in the legislation per se. I mean, anybody can be part of a public discussion, but these are lawmakers. Maybe you didn't need Republicans to pass the bill, so they didn't have to be part of that. But I would like to think that both sides had a hand in it.
They did. And, you know, we had a Republican, an outgoing Republican leader, Jim Durkin, voted for this legislation.
Yeah, he did. He was the only one.
Conversations.
Yeah.
He is. But, you know, I can tell you, there are other Republican lawmakers who wanted to vote for this, who supported this, but for political reasons decide not to. But they support the tenets of this legislation.
I think it's for political reasons that the sheriffs didn't. But what was their explanation? I mean, they're elected officials and they want to represent their constituency, but they're not lawmakers. They are law enforcement. So what was their problem with it? You would think that the police would be the first group of people that didn't want assault weapons on the street.
I think so, too. Certainly, we're talking about semi-automatic rifles where the real standard, if we're going to use an AR-15, the standard AR-15 round is going to pierce a bulletproof vest of a police officer. So we're talking about lives here of police officers and everyday citizens. So, you know, I think the police chiefs and sheriffs out there, sheriffs in particular, are really politically posturing. And it's sad. They're saying that they don't care about the safety of their officers. You know, so again, that's why I go back to, I think it's embarrassing for them. I think they're trying to politically posture. At the end of the day, their job is to protect themselves, their officers, and their community, and they're saying they're not going to do that.
Well, some of them and some of our listeners said it's impossible to imagine that the police or the sheriff's deputies are going to go door to door looking for guns to see if it's registered or if it was purchased before or after the bill was signed. What do you say about that?
There's nothing in this legislation that requires any law enforcement officer to go door to door. We already have a process in Illinois for law enforcement to tell whether someone is a lawful gun owner. We use our FOID systems. We register people, not firearms. So this legislation would include firearms with that FOID registration going back to an individual. So it's really not a new process. We do this already. If law enforcement pulls somebody over and they have a firearm, but they don't have a FOID card or a concealed carry card, law enforcement knows what to do. This will be exactly the same situation. If somebody's involved in a crime, somebody who is pulled over, somebody who law enforcement has to investigate and has firearms that are not endorsed under their FOID card, law enforcement will take care of it.
What is the penalty then for somebody who is seem to have a weapon that they should not, either because it wasn't registered within 300 days or because it was purchased after the date that the governor signed it? What's the penalty for those people? Do you confiscate the weapon? Do they go to jail? What happens then?
Yeah, it depends on what they're caught with. For instance, in our legislation, we create a criminal penalty for these rapid fire devices, switches. They're turning ordinary handguns into fully automatic weapons. That's an automatic class 2 felony. It's already banned under federal law, but because we don't have state laws, these things are never prosecuted because all gun crimes are really state prosecution. If they're caught with a high-capacity magazine, we have that as a petty offense, so it's a $1,000 fine. And those that are found with a legacy firearm that they don't register under their FOID card,
right,
it starts with a misdemeanor and goes up to a felony. So it really just depends on the situation.
What happens to the weapon or the device, though?
Well, if it's a weapon that's not legally owned, usually law enforcement is going to take that weapon. And again, it's involved in a crime. It's some situation of a domestic situation. This happens today. Somebody has a domestic violence call and they have a firearm at home without a FOID card. Law enforcement is going to take that firearm out of the home. So really, we're talking about things that already happen on an everyday basis around the state.
I'm just thinking of the scenario because I'm looking at what the letter that all of these sheriffs have signed as the custodian. This is from the Jim Root, the sheriff of Macon County. It could have been anywhere, but out of Decatur. As the custodian of the jail and the chief law enforcement official of Macon County, neither I nor my office will be checking to ensure that lawful gun owners register their weapons. And as you point out, nobody's asking them to. But then they also say we will refuse to house or book in jail any law-abiding individuals that have been arrested by other agencies solely for non-compliance of this act. So if the city police or the state police evidently catch somebody who has an illegal weapon, it says here, we will refuse to house or book in jail any law-abiding individuals that are doing that. Is that a red herring, or would they be asked to do that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, if somebody's caught with a legacy weapon that they don't get an endorsement for, then they're not a law-abiding citizen. So more than that, I think what we're really talking about here is what happens when there's the next mass shooting. And this sheriff, who is politically postured, said, I'm not going to jail somebody who commits a crime with an assault weapon at a school, right? I think we have to really think about what we're saying here, because it's just, again, sheriffs are saying they're not going to do their jobs. And that's just it's not acceptable, it's not appropriate. And more the fact that they have a year to get this endorsement, I just think it's really dangerous for our society to talk about law enforcement not doing their jobs and not enforcing the law.
Those sheriffs would, in fact, the charge would be then murder or attempted murder, or there'd be a host of charges upon which that individual in a mass shooting would be charged. But they just say, we're not going to participate in the enforcement of the registration, or we're not even going to worry about when the gun was purchased. So I'm not sure that what you just said is entirely true either.
Well, no, I mean, again, the fact is these types of situations are not going to happen in isolation. The law enforcement officers are not expected to go door to door the way these sheriffs are posturing. This is about an individual who already is involved with some kind of altercation with law enforcement. And then the sheriffs are saying, we're not going to do anything about it. It's just not real.
Let's imagine a scenario where law enforcement, a sheriff's deputy, does come upon somebody with one of these guns. Maybe they were hunting, or maybe there is a domestic issue or something, and this individual has this gun, and it is an assault-style weapon. In Illinois, they can have an assault-style weapon if they've purchased it before the governor's signature, correct?
So long as they go ahead and within a year, go ahead and register that weapon.
Okay, so a year from now. So really, I mean, so even if that weapon isn't registered today, it's still within the 300 days, that person can have that weapon.
That's right.
But another way that person might be violating the law would be that if, in fact, they just bought it yesterday. If they bought it yesterday, right, then regardless of the registration, that'll never be a legal weapon. And the sheriff's deputies are saying, we're not going to look, we're not going to ask. But are you asking them in that situation to say, show me the receipt? When did you buy this gun so we can see if you're in compliance?
So when they register with their FOID card, that's where the individual, the gun owner, is going to take that upon themselves. So somebody who doesn't register that, and let's say they forgot, right? They forgot to register the legacy AR-15. And then there's a traffic stop in which they have an AR-15 to register.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The analogous situation is somebody who forgot to renew their FOID card. Are they going to go to prison for failing to renew their FOID card? Very unlikely. Are they going to have some kind of a charge to make sure they have to answer to Illinois State Police and potentially have their FOID card revoked? Yes. Those are the things that procedurally we do all the time. So these are normal enforcement actions for law enforcement. And again, just signaling that they're not going to do it, it's just irresponsible.
Bob Morgan is the state lawmaker from Deerfield and the author of the assault weapons ban in Illinois. I have to pause, Bob, but I just give me one more minute. We come back and talk to me about your interpretation of the constitutionality of it. There's another op-ed in the paper today, and it says this just will not pass the muster. And then just a couple more comments about what the sheriffs are and aren't going to do about it. I suppose you're also not surprised to hear that there's going to be a constitutional challenge to this, Bob. How confident are you that what you've written is, in fact, legal?
Well, John, you know, what I'm confident in is that the NRA will continue to use their strategy to sue on any gun safety legislation that's passed around the country. So that much I'm confident in. You know, I was confident 7-8 months ago that reproductive health was the law of the land until the Supreme Court said it wasn't. So I certainly am not going to get into the prediction game of what the courts will uphold. But it is something that we took into consideration with recent court cases and Supreme Court cases. There are 8 other states around the country that have an assault weapons ban that are still upheld. And more than that, there's a lot of elements of this legislation, like extending our red flag laws and having anti-gun trafficking type activities. So there's a lot of elements of this legislation, and the courts will review any of that that's challenged.
What's the most vulnerable part of the law?
Oh, good question. I think, again, if I had to guess, my assumption is the NRA will challenge every element of this law. And so, you know, I think that there's a number of ongoing cases, some that are being ruled in favor of states, some that are being ruled against states that are trying to pass these common sense measures. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. The only thing I have pretty good confidence in is that the NRA will sue.
You don't have a case against it yet, though, do we?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Yeah. I'll call you in about 20 minutes and let me know if that's changed.
Sure. Sure. But, you know, the important thing is that what we did was so important because we closed the front door. We immediately banned sale. And separate from the legacy weapons that we just talked about, what we've seen in other states is when they have a six-month or one-year delay on sale, there's a run on the guns. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of more of these weapons are sold. So we did the right thing. We did it in the right way. And we'll let the courts decide.
So what about all the gun shops that have inventory in Illinois carrying these weapons? And my understanding is these are very popular. This is a high percentage of the sales for these shops. What are they supposed to do?
Well, there are provisions in the law that allow gun retailers to be able to disperse their inventory that's now banned from sale. But there are a lot of stories recently of just how they sold out of these weapons in the weeks before we passed the law. And other retailers that are holding on to their inventory because they are convinced that they are now constitutional scholars and are sure that this is going to be struck down in weeks, months, or years.
Yeah, so
retailers have the option to dispose of their inventory, sell to other states. They can still sell to law enforcement. So there are a number of avenues.
So back to this sheriff's letter. My duty and responsibility to the citizens of the county who elected me is to protect and uphold the Constitution of the United States and the state of Illinois. I want to read that again. My duty and responsibility is to protect and uphold the Constitution of the United States and the state of Illinois. What do you say to the sheriffs that all signed that?
I think that they're just posturing about state laws. You know, the sheriff's responsibilities are to follow the laws the state of Illinois passes. That's their job, start to finish. And so what they're doing now is they're saying they don't like this. Before any court has even looked at this, they're going to impose their legal perspective as non-attorneys on what's legal and constitutional and what's not. So it's dangerous. It's going to lead to people getting hurt. And people are just going to lose confidence in what this law actually does because they're lying about what the law says. So I think it's really dangerous. And again, as I started, it's pretty embarrassing for them. They only have one job, and they're saying they can't do it.
I don't know that this diminishes confidence in the law. Maybe it does if the law enforcement people aren't going to enforce it. But I think it hurts sheriffs in general. Here they are just telling you straight out, if I don't agree with the law, I won't enforce it. Not for me, not for my buddies, not for criminals, not for law-abiding citizens. I'm not going to enforce a law I don't like. They don't like the law. Now, they may think it's not constitutional, but that's not even relevant. I think it is constitutional. That's not relevant either. A court will decide that, but right now it's the law. So their job is to enforce the law. They may not like it. There's a lot of things I don't like about my job either. That's their job. I mean, I don't know how it's any different than that.
I think you said it better than I could have.
I don't know that I did. Okay, so then is there anything else you're going to do about this? Are you kind of done with this piece of legislation, or is there anything else you're working on, Bob?
Well, there's a lot of elements of reducing gun violence that we haven't done enough on. You know, we've increased our funding on mental health, but we need to do more. We need to deal with trauma-related services so that all communities have support and funding when there's a shooting in their community. And there are things like dealing with the liability for gun manufacturers, things like those who are retailers that are just starting to be licensed and making sure that there are red flag laws so that those who are dangerous to themselves and others don't have access to guns. So there's a lot to do.
A couple quick questions from our listeners. When you buy your gun, John, it's registered with the state. So I don't need to do it again just to make some Democrats happy. What do you say to that?
Well, that's unfortunately not accurate. At the moment, when you purchase a firearm, the retailer retains that information, but there's no state database of all firearms. So we don't know who owns what weapons. So this new legislation that we just passed would require that. But at the moment, the only thing that we register with the state is individuals, not firearms.
John, I have a handgun that has a standard 15-round magazine. What do I do?
Well, right now we allowed 15 and under magazines prospectively, so for handguns. So depending on the type of weapon, it sounds like that would still be permitted for future sale, let alone the legacy weapon that is allowed in the legislation.
And just last thought from you on the Second Amendment. How does this get around the Second Amendment?
Well, you know, again, I think courts are going to take up this case when it inevitably is filed. But we took into consideration a lot of jurisprudence, a lot of court cases and decisions about where the Supreme Court is headed on this kind of these kinds of laws, and the court will take up that analysis.
Bob Morgan from Deerfield. Nice to talk to you, Representative. Thanks for giving us your time today.
Thanks for having me, John. I hope everyone has a good weekend.